This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
We're back live all across the USA and around the world. It's Ron Segi today, and our second hour is a very special hour. It pays tribute to John F. Kennedy because 56 years ago, this past Friday, November 22nd, our president was assassinated in the streets of Dallas, Texas. And it doesn't seem possible that it was 56 years ago. My goodness. My first guest, former CBS News anchor Dan Rather, who was at the scene when this happened. Author Patrick Nolan and author Mark Shaw will be here, both with a unique twist on the ongoing controversy over the assassination of our president. So it's a very interesting hour. I would encourage everyone to stay tuned. We're going to pause for just a second. When we come back, my first guest this second hour, CBS News anchor Dan Rather. Is your business taking advantage of one of the most valuable assets to advertise? Your company vehicles? Well, if not, you should. The least expensive way of promoting your business is with SignZoo, the full-service graphic professionals. From design to installation, your vehicles will shine with your logo, services, phone number, website information, and more as it goes down the road. And we aren't talking about paint. We're talking about the latest, most popular, inexpensive, and easily changeable graphic wraps. Why go through the expense of painting your message when SignZoo can wrap it? SignZoo's licensed, insured, and professional graphic designers service the country nationwide, and their warranty is the best in the industry. Your entire vehicle becomes the most effective form of outdoor advertising. Cars, trucks, buses, boats, SignZoo can wrap them all, and 100% satisfaction is guaranteed. Visit their website today at SignZoo.com. That's SignZoo.com, the leader in vehicle advertising and color changes for over two decades.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-605-6995. Immediately. That's 800-605-6995. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-605-6995 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-605-6995. That's 800-605-6995. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-605-6995 for your free author submission kit.
We are doing a very special show this week as we remember the anniversary of President John F. Kennedy's assassination back on November 22nd of 1963. Now I want to read you a letter. Dear Ron, I am grateful to you for your interview while I was promoting my new book, The Camera Never Blinks Twice. Thank you so much for making our interview so pleasant and productive. You and your team did a terrific job, and I truly appreciate your good efforts. Here's hoping our paths cross again soon. That was dated October 17th, 1994. That was signed by our guest, Dan Rather. Hi, Dan. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Aren't you kind to still have that letter? Wow.
It's framed and in our studios here, and I'm so ecstatic that you're here today. And I must say that we got to quit meeting every 24 years. So it's got to be sooner than that, you know?
I would totally agree with that.
You are one of the first reporters that actually saw what happened that terrible day on November 22nd, 1963. A young reporter reporting from, of course, Dallas, Texas. Dan, what was it like when you saw that?
Well, it's a never-to-be-forgotten day, to say the least. And in fact, the whole weekend, what we call the four dark days in Dallas. Friday, when the president was assassinated. Saturday, when his assassin was being questioned by police. And then Sunday, incredibly, it's still kind of hard to believe, when the assassin was assassinated in the basement of the police station. And then, of course, on Monday, the national funeral led by the still grieving First Lady. It was an emotional earthquake for me as a person, as it was for every person in America and many people around the world. I was just past the school book depository waiting for a film drop of the motorcade. I didn't immediately realize that any shots had been fired. I didn't hear any shots. I didn't see any. But when the rest of the motorcade didn't
You were not in the press motorcade, the pool car, were you?
No, I was not. The late Bob Pierpont was the CBS News White House correspondent. He was in the motorcade. My job as a young CBS correspondent, because I'd grown up in Texas, they assigned me to arrange the coverage. I didn't expect to be on the air that day, but I had arranged our coverage, you know, the getting the film from the motorcade, getting the film back, and having it processed. Keep in mind, we didn't have portable videotape in those days.
Right.
So that was my occasion of being in Dallas. I had organized the CBS News coverage for the trip to the state. As you know, you may remember, the president had already gone to San Antonio, Houston, Fort Worth. He was in Dallas. Austin was to be the next and last stop. We had staffed up a bit in Dallas because we thought if there's going to be any trouble, we didn't really expect trouble. If there's going to be any trouble, it would be in Dallas. No one thought of an assassination, but Dallas was a citadel of resistance to desegregation and racial justice. It was a citadel of resistance to the Kennedy administration and the Democratic Party. And there'd been some jostling of Democratic candidates before in Dallas, so we thought, well, we should have a little bit heavier coverage in Dallas than anywhere else, which we did.
Dan, how do you go from just covering this thing from a peripheral level to going from there to not only breaking the news prior to the White House breaking the news, called Parkland Hospital, you received verification of the death of the president from a priest and an emergency room physician, and then later was shown the Zapruder film to bid on it for CBS News. I mean, those were two huge entries into the story.
Well, that's true. Again, I was a bit lucky that I was among the first to see this Bruder film, and our team, including our local station KOLD, had helped to find this Bruder film and played a small role in getting the film processed. And then when they showed it to us, what they did was Mr. Spruder hired a lawyer wanting to sell the film, and he said, look, we're going to show you this film once and one time only. So I saw it once. I left there immediately to go to describe from memory on the air what I had seen. So in that sense, yes, you know, it was a big story, and partly through luck and partly through experience, we did manage to get pretty much in the middle of it.
Dan, how did you verify who you were, and why did they give you that information at Parkland Hospital? I mean, anybody could have called it.
The chaos factor. Like, first of all, because I called the hospital right away, I knew the hospital switchboard would get flooded if I didn't call right away. Because I called right away, the first time I called, the switchboard operator hung up on me. I called right back, got through, and just begged her to keep on the line. You don't want to underestimate the chaos factor. The hospital was completely mobilized. Remember, not only had the president been hit, but Texas Governor Conley had been hit. They were in a chaotic mood, and I somehow, the switchboard operator took it on faith that I was who I said I was. I remember saying to her, you can call me back if you want to verify whom I am. And I begged her to get somebody, anybody on the phone who might be able to tell me what was going on. And she proved to be quite helpful. As you say, I talked to a doctor, talked to a priest. And at another place, another member of our team, Eddie Barker, who was the news director, talked to somebody who was high up in the hospital administration. All these people said, without equivocation, that the president was dead. So I knew we were dealing with a dead president, even though the official announcement had not been made.
What was the scene like when the limousine went past you? Did you see the president? Did you see Clint Hill, Jackie, the Connolly?
Well, I had no idea. I wasn't even sure it was the president's limousine. I get the picture. I'm there. Just sort of waiting for the motorcade to come. Everything had been routine. Indeed, pretty good up to then. I wasn't expecting any limousine went by. I wasn't even sure it was the president's limousine. I thought it was. And I thought to myself, well, did I see the first lady in that car? Was that the limousine?
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't sure. It just all happened in nanoseconds. What I did know almost immediately after that vehicle left was that the rest of the motorcade wasn't coming. The motorcade had stopped. And at that moment, I had no idea what had happened, but I knew something had happened because the rest of the motorcade didn't come. And in charge of our coverage, I thought, I'm out of position here. I have no way to broadcast. Remember, this is 1963.
Right.
We didn't have cell phones, didn't have live coverage on the street, so I had to get back to the station only a few blocks away. And by the time I got back to the station, as I say, then and only then did I know that the shots had been fired at the president.
I'm amazed at the fact, and very interested, that you believe with one gun, one shooter, Lee Harvey Oswald, acted alone. And that's interesting to me in lieu of all of the various theories surrounding this. Why do you feel that way?
Well, first of all, I think the facts point in that direction. I want to make clear, I understand reasonable theories about how Oswald, you know, couldn't have done it alone, and reasonable theories about a possible conspiracy. I'm open-minded. I try to be, you know, fact-concentrated, and everybody's entitled to their own opinion about what happened, but they're not entitled to their own facts. Now, I think the facts strongly suggest, I think beyond any reasonable doubt, that Oswald definitely was a shooter. I do think there was one gun, one shooter. I think it was Lee Harvey Oswald. I consider the Rosetta Stone of the case the fact that he killed Officer J.D. Tippit a short time after he left the school book depository.
Right.
I recognize that there are other people with other theories, and maybe history will prove them right, but we're years beyond the point now. And so the second part, well, okay, even if you accept, as I do, that Oswald was probably the shooter and the only shooter and acted alone in shooting, was somebody else part of a conspiracy that acted with him? It's more difficult in that area. Again, I'm open-minded. I still study the case. Nobody yet has given me what I consider to be persuasive evidence of a conspiracy. I do agree the Warren Commission didn't do its job perfectly. I think the process was flawed, but I think they reached the right conclusion. The FBI and the CIA withheld information from the Warren Commission, and that makes them somewhat under suspicion. But, you know, conspiracies are very hard to keep, and the idea that Oswald was somehow involved with somebody who put him up to this or helped him do it, I think is a reasonable hypothesis, but it is a hypothesis. Those who speculate that conspiracy involved tens, if not dozens, if not hundreds of thousands of people, the CIA, the FBI, Lyndon Johnson, the Defense Department, I don't think this is reasonable that many people were involved in the conspiracy and the conspiracy could last this long.
It's amazing how a tragedy sometimes will spawn careers for other people.
Well, that's true. And also, we're in the United States of America where people are allowed to speculate and be skeptical or even cynical about what they're told by official sources. So no one should be surprised at this. He was only president for 1,000 days. He was the first president born in the 20th century. He was the first Roman Catholic president. He represented new youth, forward-looking, but because his presidency was so short, because he was assassinated, he died violently so young, there's always going to be mystery and mystique surrounding President Kennedy and his administration.
Dan, do we have to wait another 20 years to get together again?
I hope not. Give me a call or send up a flare. I love talking to you and love to be on with you with maybe a happier, more optimistic subject. So I look forward to it, and I very much appreciate you having me on today.
Thank you, Dan. I appreciate your time, and I look forward to having you back, my friend.
Thank you very much. Good luck and Godspeed.
Thank you, Dan. Our very special guest, Dan Rather, and of course, Dan, a legendary newsman, and let's face it, one of the very few newsmen that probably are still with us after that tragic day reporting on November 22nd, 1963. Thank you, Dan. And there's more to come on Ron Segi Today.
Message and data rates may apply.
Help! Seriously, I'm too young for hair loss.
My hairline keeps creeping back. Receding?
I got this bald spot.
It's thinning everywhere.
I'm gonna have to give up and shave it.
Dude, put down the razor, because Bosley, America's number one hair restoration expert, is about to give you your real hair back permanently. Don't ignore the signs of hair loss. Bosley is giving away an absolutely free information kit that reveals all the signs and a free gift card to anyone who texts KIT 88 to 85850. Bosley will show you for free how great your hair could look. Using the latest technology, Bosley's solution to hair loss is permanent and protected by the Bosley Guarantee. Plus, since Bosley has new non-surgical options, you owe it to yourself to text now for an absolutely free information kit and a gift card for $250 off, no matter what level of hair loss you have. Text KIT 88 to 85850. KIT 88 to 85850.
Warning, don't let your business get left behind in what is likely to be the biggest economic boom in recent history. If you need to build for your business to grow, call General Steel today for a pre-engineered steel building designed for your needs. No wasted space. Steel prices are expected to rise, but you can still lock in your price on a General Steel building. And you can still save as much as half the cost and time of conventional construction. As much as half. But you must call now. If you need a church building, office, warehouse, manufacturing, space, retail space, or more, call General Steel today. You can still get the General's 50-year structural warranty and General Steel quality, all at a price you can afford. So don't let rising steel prices put your project out of reach and stop you from making your company great.
800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. That's 800-965-1295.
As a mother, you don't want to have to worry about this bill is coming, but then she needs this chemo. That's the decision you shouldn't have to make.
It's a huge burden lifted financially, and so it allows you to give singular focus to your child. I've never known a hospital that takes care of their patients so thoroughly.
That was the first thing I was like, how are we going to do this? When they told us that we didn't have to pay a single bill, I was like, wow. They pretty much have saved us.
It's like the world has been lifted off of your shoulders, and now your focus is supporting this child.
There is not another hospital like St. Jude. The patient care is unmatchable. It saved my life. It saved my daughter's life. It saved our family.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
This week on Ron Sedgy Today, we are featuring many authors that have recapitulated what happened on November 22nd, 1963. Our next author, however, not only talks about 1963, but 1968. How and why U.S. agents conspired to assassinate JFK and RFK, CIA rogues, and the killing of the Kennedys. Our guest is Patrick Nolan. Hi, Patrick. How are you today?
How are you, Ryan? Good.
This is a fascinating piece of work, and it must have taken you an enormous amount of time to write this.
Thanks very much. I've been interested in the assassinations most of my life. Spent the last 10 years whenever I could down on paper.
You certainly did that. Now, one of the things that you mentioned, so many reasons for this cover-up, regardless of what it is, and of course you allude to the CIA, is that we didn't want our enemies to know that sometimes we are as bad as they are.
It's a lot of people don't want to face the truth because they think it would make the U.S. look bad. And I agree that that's not a good idea to make the U.S. look bad, but it's the truth that sets you free, as they say. And I think other countries admire us when we are truthful.
Now, let's talk about the reason why you say the CIA was responsible. President Kennedy was looking to unwind the CIA very shortly before his assassination. And the CIA was a little upset, too, with the fact that John Kennedy was looking for a truce with Castro when, indeed, the CIA was making strides in killing him. So there was an underlying dispute going on that, I don't know, did Kennedy know that this was happening? Did he know the CIA was bent out of shape about this?
He certainly did. He actually began to work behind their backs. And this is well documented. On three fronts, he had feelers out using the French to try and make peace with North Vietnam. And also he had made great gains with Russia following the Cuban Missile Crisis. The CIA, obviously, to them this was treason.
Talk about CIA's Richard Helms. You describe as a pathological liar. He was responsible for a lot of the problems the CIA had back in the early 60s, and that he was certainly capable of pulling off something like this in lieu of his personality defaults.
If you study the history through his own writings and his testimony to Congress, you can easily see the nature of this person who was career CIA officer, who eventually became the top person, the director, what he was like. 1953, on up to 73, actually, he had been working on such programs, assassination programs. Their goal was to create a fall guy, but the work could be done, again, without CIA being blamed. Tested drugs on thousands of people. They assisted in attempted coups in Iran, Iraq, Congo, in Guatemala, in Cuba, in Indonesia, in South Vietnam, either sponsored by the CIA or assisted by the CIA. 63, they started doing it at home.
How do you keep that a secret? I mean, the CIA is a big organization. I mean, how indeed were they able, if indeed they were responsible, to keep this a secret when leaks are so prevalent in our government?
It's called compartmentalization. Compartmentalization is a procedure, a system whereby you're working at one desk, I'm working at the next desk, and neither of us knows what the other one's working on, and we could be working on the same thing.
Nobody knows the whole picture.
Right.
How did you finally come to the conclusion that said, you know what, I think the CIA is involved here?
The Mafia and the CIA had an alliance that went back to the 40s. We know this from studying the New York crime families and how they worked with the intelligence agency at that time, which was prior to the CIA. CIA in helping to protect us and to actually win in World War II in the battles in Italy, especially Sicily. So they had a strong alliance going back to the 40s. Then during the 50s, it continued to get stronger. What made me realize what was really happening here was sort of the legend that was created. Lee Harvey Oswald is depicted a troublemaker, a hater of freedom, a Castro lover, a wife beater, all these horrible things. If you look at the testimony of his friends in New Orleans, his friends in the service, his friends in Russia, his friends in Dallas, they said just the opposite.
He was
nonviolent. He was known to be able to speak fluent Russian. The only way someone's going to learn a language that difficult, he had to have gone there. He was in the service for a couple of years, came back, he got a hardship discharge so that they could send him to Russia. It was a fake defector program to Russia run by James Angleton, who I describe in my book, gaining solid intelligence on the ground. Marries a beautiful woman over there. They ended up having two kids, one over there and one over here. The legend that they've created was simply to set him up. And that was another Helms and Angleton plan, to create a fall guy, not overnight, but over a long period of time.
The fact that John Kennedy was planning on eliminating or downsizing or backing off the CIA strength certainly supports the theory of them being involved in the president's assassination. How does it pertain to the Robert Kennedy assassination?
Well, the Robert Kennedy assassination, primarily Vietnam, where Robert Kennedy wanted to get out as soon as possible. John Kennedy, a month before he died, had agreed in Honolulu to withdraw 1,000 troops. That was reversed as soon as John was assassinated.
Did Harry Truman start the CIA?
It was 1947.
Does the CIA answer to? I mean, if you were the president of the United States right now and really wanted to know what was going on behind closed doors with the CIA, could they indeed penetrate those doors?
More responsible people are in power today.
Yeah, but do they answer to anybody, regardless of they're responsible or not? I mean, do they call up the president, or do they call up the head of the FBI? They call up somebody. I mean, Martha Stewart, anybody. They seem to be kind of a government within their own. I mean, even today, the president says, I didn't know about Benghazi, I didn't know about this, I didn't know about that. Who's their immediate supervisor?
There are checks and balances, and it's a bureaucracy with a lot of good people in it. You know, everybody's watching everybody else. Nowadays, it's Homeland Security.
Right.
People don't understand the power and the size of the NSA.
Do you think that the CIA ever divulged any of this information on a high level with ongoing administrations after Kennedy, i.e. Johnson?
Absolutely not. Most people say, a lot of people think he didn't have a clue. He did have suspicions that the CIA did something. He also suspected Cuba.
Yeah.
But that didn't make sense.
Yeah.
Nixon, we feel, knew what had happened, was very careful around Helms and Angleton, and he did give Helms a nice job over in Iran, get him out of the country.
Yeah. You're not the first one that we've had on the show this week that said that Nixon was privy of it. I think it's important to note that he may have been privy of it after the fact, but wasn't responsible for it like a lot of people might think. You know, like they say, you know, Johnson was responsible for it or whatever the case may be. We have an author on the show this week that says that. Fact of the matter is that Nixon had that tie with the CIA after the assassination and certainly during his administration.
The evidence doesn't show he was involved.
No, that's what I'm saying. He was not involved in any way, shape, or form. He was just privy of what had happened.
Yeah.
This is heavy stuff.
Well, I was in broadcast journalism. Maybe that's where I got my...
Well, you know what? And I failed to mention
my skill.
You are a television news producer, so obviously you know how to put a picture into words.
That's the thing. You write for the ear rather than the eye. Always enjoyed that more.
Well, you pulled it off. There's no doubt about it. I urge everyone to get CIA Rogues and the Killing of the Kennedys, How and Why U.S. Agents Conspired to Assassinate John F. Kennedy and Robert F. Kennedy, written by our guest in hardcover right now, Patrick Nolan. Patrick, thank you so much for joining us.
You're very welcome. I'd love to come back, Ron.
Okay.
Anytime. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. You're listening to a very special edition of Ron Sedgy Today, where we are remembering November 22nd, 1963, the assassination of John F. Kennedy. And there's more to come.
Hey everyone, Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the three-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com and enter promo code RADIO. You heard right. Proactive MD plus free shipping and a free gift. The new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now. 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to proactive.com and enter promo code RADIO. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code RADIO.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Vice President Mike Pence has made a surprise visit to Iraq.
You look like you need a lot more turkey. You need a lot more meat.
He got in line and helped serve an early Thanksgiving dinner to some American troops.
You step forward in a calling where you counted our lives as more important than your own. But I want to assure you, as you bear that burden here, as you wear the uniform, as you stand the post so far from home, you do not bear that burden alone.
The vice president also met with a top Kurdish official and tried to reassure him the U.S. still supports the Kurds, despite a withdrawal of troops from northern Syria. He also spoke with the prime minister of Iraq in a phone call, but he decided not to visit Baghdad because of deadly anti-government protests that are much too volatile in the region. This is USA Radio News.
Money! 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 Money. You gotta have it. When you need it, what do? If you don't have a rich uncle, call LendingTree. With us, hundreds of banks compete for your business, so you'll get loans with competitive interest rates, and in some cases, with no closing costs. So here's the deal. If you need money, call us. Do you want to refinance your current loan? Are you 62 or older and interested in a reverse mortgage? Then call LendingTree now. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. We've closed over $250 billion in loans. We know what we're doing and can help you. Call right now for a free quote. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. That's 800-634-1315. NMLS number 1136.
We depend on our drinking water supply daily, but where does that water come from? Your water provider encourages you to get to know your local water source so together we can protect and preserve it. The investments we make as a community to protect our water source now ensure we have a sustainable drinking water supply for the future. Visit drinktap.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the American Water Works Association and your local water provider.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Ron Segi today and this weekend, November 22nd, marks the 53rd anniversary of the assassination of John F. Kennedy in Dallas. And we have a special show that we've put together, and it continues with a gentleman who's written a book that is fascinating.
You got to hear this. And the name of the book is The Poison Patriarch, How the Betrayals of Joseph P. Kennedy Caused the Assassination of JFK. Out of all of these different approaches to this assassination, this is one that I actually support wholeheartedly. And our guest, a lawyer, former legal analyst for ABC, ESPN, and USA Today, Mark Shaw, joins us. Hi, Mark. How are you today?
Good morning, Ron. Thank you.
You got to be busy this time of the year, huh?
Well, as you know, it's the week.
Yes, it is.
So I thank you for having me on the program. I hope that I can contribute to the discussion here as to what happened years ago.
Well, let's begin by saying, first of all, that I would say it would be the honor, I don't know now after I read your book if that's the case or not, of having Melvin Belli on the show many, many times. And I'll tell you the reason why, is that when we would do the show on a holiday, and when it ever fell on a holiday, we could always get Melvin as a guest. Thanksgiving, Christmas, didn't make any difference. He didn't care. He just called me on the holidays when you can't have anybody else. A very flamboyant guy, of course, who represented Jack Ruby. But your book is about a theory that I have, that you have, that I wholeheartedly agree with. And that's the fact that Joseph Kennedy, father of the president, with his zealous personality and his win-all and his ego and everything else, really put his sons in harm's way in 1963 and again in 1968.
Yes, and we want to get back to Melvin Belli because he is a real key, he and Jack Ruby, to leading back to Joe. But, you know, Joe wasn't a very good guy, Ron. He made his money during bootlegging, during the Depression with the stock market. He accumulated so much wealth, and the book is about abuse of power and corruption because Joe, as you know, was ambassador to England. He wanted to be president of the United States. He thought that was a stepping stone, but he pacified the Nazis. He called for isolationism, and FDR yanked him back to the United States. And so Joe said to himself, well, I'll take my power and money. If I can't be president, I'll put one of my sons in that office. And it was going to be Joe Jr., but he had died during the war, so it was John. And he used his power and influence to make John a senator from Massachusetts, and now we come to 1960 in the election. And it looked like it was going to be close, and it was, but John was going to lose both Illinois and West Virginia. And Joe, through his contacts with the mafia, there's no question about those contacts, called in some of his buddies, and they put up money and power to help win both Illinois and West Virginia. And Joe had to make what I call a deal with the devil. And that was that if JFK was elected, the new administration would give those guys a pass. And that included Giancana, Trafficante, Marcello, Mickey Cohen, who's important to this. All of those guys were led to believe that if they help elect John Kennedy, they would be given a pass. And then Joe, as I say in the book, made a decision that changed the course of history, and that I have a witness who was right there. There are more than 40 eyewitnesses in the book that have never been published before, and one of them was right there when Joe ordered JFK to appoint Bobby Attorney General, and then, as you know, Bobby went after those guys, and you can't mess with those guys in the mafia when they think there's a double cross, and it's my opinion that in 1963 they were desperate.
Now, out of curiosity, and this is something that always bewildered me, even though I firmly believed it, you know, when Joe Kennedy got a stroke in December 1961, I was always of the opinion that, well, as a result of that, he wasn't able to explain to his sons how the deal was made. But, you know, after reading your book, I come to the conclusion that they must have known. I mean, how naive could two gentlemen be at that age to know that their father wasn't cutting a deal and that they should have enough sense to continue what he suggested they continue before his stroke?
Well, yes, and, you know, you read that Joe was warned just about the time just before he had the stroke.
Right.
Bobby had been out of control, and the one man that he, you know, if you just, my book is all about common sense and motive. I lay it out like a prosecutor does for a jury so people can make up their own minds. But, you know, when you deport a man like Marcello, Carlos Marcello in New Orleans, throw him out of the country, he comes back, you continue to try to deport him, you charge him with conspiracy. Those guys are desperate. And whether or not Joe, John, or Bobby believed there was a deal, the mobsters believed there was a deal. I mean, that's how they worked. And
right,
we did this for you, now you'll do this for me. And I have to tell you just a quick story, and that is that I saw firsthand why you can't mess around with these guys, Ron. Perhaps you saw it in the epilogue, but when I was a correspondent for Good Morning America in the late 1970s, they sent me over to Philadelphia to interview the lawyer for Angelo Bruno, who was a Philadelphia Don, and I did so, and it was a good interview, and the producer said, Mark, will he talk to you again? And I called the next morning. And there was kind of a silence when I asked the woman about talking to this lawyer, and then I could tell she was crying. And finally she mumbled out, well, Mr. Shaw, maybe you don't know, they blew him up in his car this morning.
Oh, yeah, I didn't read that.
And I even shiver when I think about that, because I saw what happens when there is a double cross, when those guys open their mouth when they're not supposed to, and those were the kind of men that Joe Kennedy was dealing with.
See, and what I don't understand is how naive somebody like Bobby Kennedy was to, as I alluded to before, pursue this, having known, or I can't imagine not knowing, I mean, he headed the campaign up in 1960. I mean, he was the main guy.
Yeah.
How did he not know that there was a deal made? And, you know, you talk about being warned just before his stroke, Joe Kennedy. He had made mention that after he was warned, maybe October, November, that his sons were going to come to his home for Christmas that following mm-hmm. month, and that he would talk to them at that point. He had the stroke, and then that was a moot point.
Yeah, and people have asked me, Mark, wait a minute, these guys were smart guys, Joe, Bobby, John, come on, how wouldn't they know that what Bobby was doing was going to have a backlash to it? Well, bless their hearts, but the Kennedys have always felt like they were bigger than life, that their actions wouldn't cause consequences, that, you know, that you can treat people in a certain way and it's not going to come back on you. But, yeah, I think they all knew what was going on, but each of them just felt like that for whatever reason they were immune. And there's a little bit of a spiritual aspect of this book, Reap What Thou Shalt Sow.
Mm-hmm.
And John Joseph Kennedy's decisions and then Bobby's decisions. I mean, Ron, if you saw in the book, Bobby tells us who killed his brother.
Yes.
Right after, you know, he found out that JFK was dead, he made the statement, I thought they would get one of us. I thought it would be me. And later on, he discloses to Richard Goodwin, Doris Kearns Goodwin's husband, that he knew it was the guy from New Orleans, Marcello. So Bobby's been telling us for years, and his son RFK Jr. in fact confirmed that earlier this year, that, you know, yeah, they knew what had happened, and it was Bobby's enemies who had caused JFK's death.
Well, and like the saying goes, if you have a problem with a dog, you don't cut off the tail, you cut off the head.
Well, they're smart people, you know, and Carlos Marcello and those people knew that if they killed Bobby Kennedy, who was their enemy, then JFK comes after you with everything the government has. But if you kill JFK, Bobby is powerless, and there's the proof again. I mean, a first-year prosecutor can take what I have in the book and prove this, because who, you know, you use motive, means, opportunity, and benefit from the crime. Well, who benefited from the crime more than anybody? Marcello and his buddies, because Bobby was powerless. He never went after them again. He left them alone. And as you know, he finally resigned as attorney general and then went on through, you know, running for president. So, you know, Bobby knew, and I think that if people just use an open mind with regard to that, use some common sense, I mean, this case should have been solved long ago.
Mark, as we continue our conversation today on this very important subject, I want to talk about Melvin Belli and his
Good.
Role in the defense of Jack Ruby, and a couple other high points that I think you stress eloquently in your book. The name of the book is The Poison Patriarch, How the Betrayals of Joseph P. Kennedy Caused the Assassination of JFK. It's in bookstores as we speak in hardcover. I will tell you right now, it is fascinating reading. It really is. You have to get this. It's a point of view that I have shared for many years, but for a lot of people, it's probably the first time around, and I think that you will be shocked and convinced of many, if not all, of the assumptions made in this book. And this portion of the show, our guest is Mark Shaw. And this week, we are remembering the 56th anniversary, the assassination of John F. Kennedy. And there's more to come all across the USA and around the world with Ron Seggi today.
As a mother, you don't want to have to worry about this bill is coming, but then she needs this chemo. That's a decision you shouldn't have to make.
It's a huge burden lifted financially, and so it allows you to give singular focus to your child.
I've never known a hospital that takes care of their patients so thoroughly.
That was the first thing. I was like, how are we going to do this? When they told us that we didn't have to pay a single bill, I was like, wow. They pretty much have saved us.
It's like the world has been lifted off of your shoulders, and now your focus is supporting this child.
There is not another hospital like St. Jude. The patient care is unmatchable. It saved my life. It saved my daughter's life. It saved our family.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at St. Jude.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped 1 million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine Tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203. We all hear the stories in the news. The good guy uses a gun to protect his family from criminals, and he's the one arrested. The legal system is not fair, and responsibly armed Americans are political targets. So here's how you can take a simple and rewarding journey to complete self-defense confidence. Simply text GCN to 87222 to discover how the USCCA can give you the training, education, legal, and financial protection you need to truly protect the people you love. Don't risk everything and leave your family vulnerable. Now it's time to prepare and protect yourself. So if you're ready to take your next step as a responsibly armed American, you're ready to truly become your family's ultimate protector. Text GCN to 87222. Discover your life-saving USCCA member benefits today. Again, that's text GCN to 87222.
Mark Shaw has agreed to stay with us for another segment. The name of the book is The Poison Patriarch. The betrayal, I should say, of Joseph P. Kennedy, causing the assassination of his son, John F. Kennedy. And we talk about Melvin Belli. Now, here we go, Mark, with something that, in all my conversations with Belli, I didn't know. And that is, up to the point of defending Jack Ruby, he was primarily a civil case attorney, not a criminal attorney. Well, what's that all about?
Well, yes, and I knew Mr. Belli, as you did, in the 1980s, and, you know, the key to the whole assassination situation is, and the greatest murder mystery in history, as people call it, is to focus on why Bobby Kennedy wasn't killed in 1963 instead of why JFK was. Well, key to that is looking at the Ruby trial. My opinion, Lee Harvey Oswald's a dead end. He's a murky character. Nobody can figure out him or his motive or anything, but, boy, you look at Jack Ruby and Melvin Belli. you'll find something. And died in the 90s, I decided to write a biography of him called King of the Courtroom. But while I was investigating that, your points are well made. This is what bothered me. He was a personal injury lawyer. What was he doing as a criminal defense lawyer for Ruby? He was a mob wannabe representing Mickey Cohen, the gangster from L.A., among others. He used a ludicrous insanity defense instead of throwing Ruby on the mercy of the jury. I'll be interested to hear, since you talked to him so many times, the one thing that really hit me was that he would never talk about the Ruby case to anyone. All of the colleagues and friends and wives and everybody else I talked to, he'll talk about everything. As you know, he was a blabbermouth, but he would never talk about the Ruby case, and that's what really made me know that there was something fishy about his representation of Ruby.
Well, he always stated to me that Ruby was crazy. He even made the comment that when they put him on a lie detector test one time, that Ruby thought that he was being electrocuted. It seemed to me that Melvin Belli was more interested in grandstanding than he was in protecting his client.
He's the only guy that thought Ruby was crazy.
Yeah, right.
And what you have to understand is that if people will you know, look at the connection between Marcello and Bobby Kennedy and Joe, then you have to fill in a blank there. And the blank is Jack Ruby and Melvin Belli, because here's what I think happened. The assassination was masterminded. Oswald was some sort of a bit player in there. Now there's a loose end. So you've got to shut him up. You bring in a low-level mafia wannabe like Jack Ruby in Dallas, where Marcello's empire stretched to, and they sneak him into the basement of Dallas police headquarters, and he kills Oswald. Well, now you've got Ruby, who's a loose end. And through Mickey Cohen, I believe Marcello and those guys recruited Melvin Belli and said, okay, we're going to bring you into the case. You're going to get all this fame. You're going to do everything. But here's the two caveats. He must not testify. And if possible, make him look like he's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And Belli was brilliant. And that's what he did. But unfortunately, Ron, he really forsake his client. Jack Ruby was told that a mafia lawyer was on the way. He believed in Belli. He trusted Belli, and Belli sold him down the river. So what happens then? Ruby is convicted. He's portrayed as crazy, and nobody will believe him. That's a great exit strategy. And as you know, from the way the mafia works, they're always thinking that way. And that's, I think, why he felt so guilty, because he knew what he had done, and that's why he would never talk about the Ruby case.
Yeah, but I think he hung his reason for doing that on the fact that everybody saw, millions of people saw the assassination, so they couldn't deny that he didn't do it. All they could do is say, hey, the guy was crazy.
But if you don't mind, there's one point. You could have taken Jack Ruby, who had arguably killed the most hated man in the world at the time, Oswald, and throw him in front of a jury, and he might have got 2 or 3, 4 years. Belli gambled with his life.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Basically then the jury never bought the insanity defense and put him in the electric chair.
Recently a book is out alluding that LBJ had something to do with this assassination. And you mentioned earlier the motive, okay, and the means, which is what the mafia had, a motive and the means to do this because of what they lost in Cuba and how they were deported in the whole nine yards. What about the fact that Jack Ruby actually worked for Richard Nixon back in the late 40s as a favor to Lyndon Johnson, and he got into the Congress? And when the assassination on TV of Lee Harvey Oswald took place, Nixon said, I know that guy. Do you think that there was any tie-in between Johnson circle in lieu of the fact that he did also have motive and he also had ties with the mafia and he also had the means?
Certainly have respect for every other author, and I've actually written a letter to the House Judiciary Committee asking them to reconvene and reopen the JFK assassination so all points of view can be heard, including mine. That's so much speculation. You have to take that through several layers to ever get to any conclusion that I think makes sense. Did LBJ benefit from the crime? Absolutely. But I find it hard to believe in my own mind that that could have occurred based on the evidence that I've seen. It's much more clear, I believe, when you go back through Ruby, Marcello, and back to Joe Kennedy and Bobby's actions. I think that's a much more clear path, and as I say, I think a prosecutor can take that evidence and convict.
I'm going to say something, Mark, on the air that I probably haven't said in all the years I've been doing a radio talk show, okay, especially when it comes about, you know, a famous individual. I haven't even said this about unfamous individuals, for that matter, but was Joseph Kennedy a slug? He really lived through his sons. As you mentioned before, his dealings and his disagreement and being a Nazi sympathizer during the Roosevelt administration certainly did not make him a candidate, and being Catholic, for the President of the United States. But was he living precariously through his sons?
Well, we want to pay respect to those who have passed away, but slug is a good word. And I'll have to say so. You know, Joe was a bad guy,
yeah.
And he made his money through illicit means. He was a philanderer to the nth degree. You
right.
know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, and so the boys just took right after him. You know, he was a guy who abused his money, abused his power. Corruption. Much of what Joe Kennedy did was about himself, and he basically was going to show everybody that if he couldn't be president, he'd put a son in there, and that's what he did. And then he had the audacity to double-cross people that you can't double-cross by ordering. I have a witness, John Siegenthaler, who's a very respected man, right there when Joe Kennedy ordered JFK to appoint Bobby Kennedy Attorney General, and that changed the course of history. But Joe believed in his own mind that he was immune from any consequences to his actions. So I'll have to agree with you. Slug is a real good word. There are others that we could use that we couldn't talk about over the air.
This is a fascinating book, and I can only say that I would love to have you come back at a time when you're not so busy during this anniversary and talk to me more at length about this.
Well, thank you, Ron. I'm most honored to be on your show, as I say.
Okay, I look forward to having you back. And again, the name of the book is The Poison Patriarch, How the Betrayals of Joseph B. Kennedy Caused the Assassination of JFK, as written by our guest, Mark Shaw. Mark, thank you for joining us. Look forward to having you back.
Thank you so much.
And if you just tuned in, we have a very special show this week. It's remembering November 22nd, 1963. Hard to believe, 56 years ago, when the assassination of John F. Kennedy took place in the streets of Dallas, Texas. And we're going to pause for a second. There's more to come, live nationwide and around the world, with Ron Segi today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@gcnlive.com.
And I want to share an experience I had. I'm a classic automobile enthusiast, and recently I wanted to change the color of one of my most treasured and rare cars. I got a quote to have it painted and almost fainted. The cost was terrible, and they couldn't guarantee satisfaction. That's when I called SignZoo. I had seen expensive cars like Bentleys, Lamborghinis, Rolls Royces, Cadillacs, Mercedes, vinyl wrapped, and they looked better than paint and more resistant to the elements and a whole lot less expensive. SignZoo explained to me that paint replacement, you can make a green car red, with finishes that cannot be achieved with paint. Some of these wraps include carbon fiber, camouflage, 3D, and embossed textures. And boat owners, SignZoo wraps more boats than anyone in the country. They're licensed, insured, and professionals service the country nationwide, and their warranty in the industry is the best. Check out their website at SignZoo.com. That's SignZoo.com, and make your car or boat pop with a new look. That's going to wrap things up on Ron Segi Today. I want to thank you and all of our guests for being part of the show. And our guests include Lee Greenwood, calling from England, Bear Grylls, Anna D'Souza, talking about technology shopping for Christmas, former CBS News anchor Dan Rather, author Patrick Nolan, and author Mark Shaw. That second hour, of course, dealing with the assassination of President John F. Kennedy, the 56th anniversary of that murder, was this past Friday, November 22nd. Well, we're going to be looking for your company come next week when we're going to do it again, live all across the USA and around the world with Ron Segi Today. Till then, happy Thanksgiving, and I hope that you have blue skies and green lights.